This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Welcome back to Baseball Outside the Box, educational podcast for coaches, players, and parents from all over the world, where we bring you the most innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds who love to challenge the status quo. Hello again. I am your host, Pete Caliendo. We're here for the second half of the show, and we are excited to talk to Coach Sheets, or continue to talk to Coach Sheets. Before we do, if you like the show, here's a way you can help. If you're going to go buy something on Amazon, especially my new Youth Baseball Drills book, do us a favor. First, go to our website, baseballoutsidethebox.com, and click on the Amazon banner. It's that simple. Doesn't cost you anything. Gives us credit. Helps the show continue. So we really appreciate that, especially we know you're going to be buying stuff on Amazon anyway. Just click it on and give us some credit when you're buying stuff. Also, we love receiving your emails. Let us know what you think about the show, topics you'd like to hear, any questions about baseball development. Send us emails. I love to get them, and I will respond as quick as possible at info@baseballoutsidethebox.com. Again, info@baseballoutsidethebox.com. Last, if you're interested in purchasing my 5-set baseball coaches instructional DVDs with over 100 games, drills, and skills to help you organize your practice, email me, info@baseballoutsidethebox.com. If you do that, when you're listening to the show, mention this show, and I'll add 2 more DVDs. We'll give you 7 altogether, and we'll send you all the details. All right, we are back with Coach Sheets from the American Baseball Coaches Association, the largest and best baseball association and convention in the world. We continue to talk on the developing the grassroots level of the game, how to get it done, and why it's so important that the grassroots level coaches are educated and continue their education. So let's talk to Coach Sheets. Welcome back, Coach.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Sorry you had to listen a little bit to the advertising, but that helps. As you know, you've got the podcast with the ABCA. Yep. I listen to it all the time, and sponsors are important. Sponsors and listeners, that's what keeps the show going.
No doubt.
So let's continue on that path of, the education of our grassroots level coaches, something the ABCA has done for many years and now is expanding on it. I just want you to mention, because we finished off with, it was a general topic, obviously, and you did a great job addressing, because I thought those were the major issues that you hit on, when I asked you about, advice you could give our volunteer coaches, because, it's a tough job. They're volunteers, they're well-intended people. They love the game. They love their kids. A lot of them coach because of their kids are in the game, but also because they want to help other kids. And unfortunately, they don't do it full time. And that's the tough part, because as you mentioned, coaching baseball, it can be a very negative game. And you mentioned about having fun. And you also gave us some advice on how to have fun. And you talked about the failure of the game. Let's talk a little bit about the failure, because, I see that as a reason why a lot of kids, after about, they reach that 14, 15 year old age, they start quitting the game. Sometimes even sooner, at 12 years old. We've seen about 10% of kids under the age of 12 years old every year quit the game because of things like failure. What are some of the things that you teach in your camps that you've had, and also that you teach coaches to kind of, get kids to understand that they're going to fail and how to deal with it?
Well, I think, specifics, I think taking each thing you do, for instance, if I'm a youth coach and I've got a practice plan in front of me and I've got, 13, 14, youth players staring at me, is really attack it in a way that will grab their attention, keep them laughing, but also kind of gear them up a little bit. And what I mean by that is, if I'm doing hitting this today and we're doing some type of batting practice or tee work, whatever it is, in teaching it, try to, throw in a joke. Now that's a personality based type thing, but throw in something that makes it kind of funny. Like we used to always, if we were teaching, the swing and you were talking about how to hold the bat, You know, we would talk about lining up your door knocking knuckles. It's an easy reference, but then point your first fingers, point, make shooters, make little guns like you would when you were a kid and line them up. And it's so funny that, that I would walk through camp and see kids pointing their shooters, you know, pointing their index fingers straight ahead, trying to get them pointing the same direction. But that's what got them to notice and be aware that their knuckles needed to be lined up instead of, you know, gripping the bat and twisting their wrist. And little things like that, they connect with. It's little quips and little tips that make them start to become aware of things that they weren't aware of before. I think the other side of it is create competitions. You know, if you're doing a drill work, make one kid swing at a time and go down the line, and it's the base hit game, and you're in or you're out, or put a screen out in front of them. They're trying to hit the screen. You're either in or you're out, and it forces these guys to get competitive, which is a great thing. At the same time, it gives you the coaching moment for when they fail, and you know there's a six-year-old kid that's going to want to slam his bat or pout or get upset. It's your moment to go, look, this is how we're not going to respond. We're going to teach you how to respond to failure. It's a, you know, how fast can you know, you're upset, sure, but how fast can you get back into picking up the next guy and cheering for him? And I think, you know, we've brought a lot of those elements even to some of the high school camps and showcases I'm a part of, that we try to create that team philosophy, that team identity, that almost, as you know, Pete, it almost gets you out of self, and it gets you out of worrying about what you did or didn't do. It's, man, I'm going to do what I can for the team, and if I fail, that's part of it, but how quick can I get to the next guy? And I think that's maybe an element that, you know, youth coaches need to be aware of and keep that perspective of how to keep our kids just so engaged on the team aspect of it and team dynamic that I think most certainly helps and move their team forward.
You know, and continuing a failure, I would think the sooner kids understand how to deal with failure, the easier the high school coach and the college coach is going to have. Because, you know, you see a lot of kids that are, they're put in situations where they don't fail a lot. You know, we put them in these special teams. They're with the same team all the time. The team's successful. They don't see a lot of failure. And then maybe they're pretty good also, so they don't fail a lot in that perspective. And then all of a sudden they get to a certain level and they start to fail and they don't know how to deal with that. How did you deal with that with your players?
Wow, that's, you know, it's funny you're talking about the stats, and it's actually kind of alarming, but it does make sense. I think before I get into that, you know, Steve Springer, we had a conversation a couple months ago, and he was talking about, and if you've heard Spring talk with Quality at Bats, he talked
absolutely
about it a lot. You know, we get so competitive and focused on winning with 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kids that they quit the game before they've even grown into their man body. And they're a lot of times, you know, as you know, a lot of times they're failing or they're getting out or they're not hitting it as hard or throwing it as fast because they, quite frankly, don't have strength. You know, it's just their frame. It's their body. It's where they're at in their development. So we need to be cognizant of that it's, you know, and again, to me, is just keeping perspective, but it's being aware that kid, and for instance, I've got a high school teammate that was 5'7" his entire high school career and really, you know, really was a good player and wanted to go play college baseball and probably got overlooked because he was, you know, undersized. And then he goes to his freshman year in college and he's now 6'3". You know, so I think it's just being aware that each kid is going to figure it out. Each kid is going to click. Each kid is going to make their jump on their timeline. And you're going to have the 12-year-old that's just far and away better than everybody. But as you know, a lot of times when they turn 15, everybody else catches up with them. You know, so just keeping that in perspective that, you know, I think what we've tried to do is again, preach the positive mindset from day one. And it can be a lot of things. It could be almost like a swear jar, but like a negative jar, and the kid doesn't, he puts a quarter in. It could be something simple like that. It could be the coach rewarding his players. I mean, my Little League coach, I've said this 1,000 times, man, hit, run, have fun, and chew bubble gum. And I was like, man, that was the greatest thing you've ever told us. But more importantly, that got us just focused on the simple things. Hey, just hit it as hard as you can, throw it as hard as you can, you know, run as hard as you can. And by the way, chomp this bubble gum to death. And if you did something great, he'd give you a piece of bubble gum. And it's things like that that I think we've kind of fallen away and substituted it with winning and success and performance. And it's like, no. At the youth levels, that's what's most important, because the player really doesn't understand the depth of success. He doesn't understand all those dynamics around it. They want to win. They want to compete. But, man, keep them positive. Keep them interested in the game. Keep them playing for the right reasons and let them grow into who they're going to be. And, you know, we were talking about this earlier, and it just made me start thinking, it's just a shame to think that there's kids out there that at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, they quit when you and I both know just because you don't play in high school doesn't mean you can't be a great baseball fan. Just because you don't go play in college or professional doesn't mean baseball doesn't remain important to you in your life. And it's just, you know, for us as true baseball enthusiasts, I just would love every person to just play as long as you can until the game tells you that you can't do it anymore, but still be a baseball fan. And we need to be, again, I think that's a grassroots mindset, be cognizant of that we're really stewards of the game. It's not really about winning the Franklin County Little League Championship. It is for sure, but it's not. It's about growing the game of baseball. It's about keeping kids engaged with the game, understanding what it's about, and growing it across all fronts.
Yeah, and we've started, you know, and I see it happening, you know, with a lot of travel teams, unfortunately. You know, travel baseball has its positives, but it also, like any level, there's its negatives. And we've started, you know, teams at 7, 8, 9 years old, and we're playing so many games now, especially here in the Midwest where we didn't used to play a lot of games. Now we wanted to compete, you know, with the Floridas and the Arizonas and all that. But we're not practicing enough. How important is it for kids under the age of 12 or under 13 that they continue to practice and get better?
I think it's ultra important, and that's a great point. I think it's a lot more about playing. And, you know, we all understand as baseball people that to really improve, you got to get game experience. So I think that's where coaches have kind of ran with it is we're going to play a bunch of games. But now you're just that becomes the priority as opposed to a great practice plan. You got to keep in mind – even a college team, you're going to practice of your total 100% time in baseball. You're going to practice about 75% of that time. You know, mm-hmm. You're only going to play this little short, you know, season. And I think that's what coaches need to keep in mind is there's so much to be learned from a fundamental standpoint, from the small intricacies of the game. You know, those messages inside a practice plan, as I know you're well aware of motivation, of, you know, being team-oriented, the specifics of offense and defense and base running. It's hard to really make changes in-game because that's, as you know, that's the players' time. You know, games are for players and practice is for coaches. And we need to be aware that that's so important. The player may not understand that, especially at 12 years old, but we know that it's important because we need to teach that kid how to take proper leads, how to steal bases, how to go first to third, how to read a defense, how to properly bunt, how to move a ball to the right side, how to do those things. So I'm with you 100%. I think beyond that, we'd love to see coaches be more organized in their practice plan. And again, we're asking a volunteer coach who probably has another job that's paying his bills, but take a couple minutes and have a plan when you walk in, or you know, join the ABCA or get to USA Baseball or another coaching group and get that content that you can use to, you know, be prepared at practice and walk in with a plan and have a detailed itinerary of what you're going to go through that the kids most certainly know. The coaches that show up and just roll the balls out and hey, let's just hit today. Those kids know that, and a lot of them aren't that fired up except when it's their turn to go hit. A player that's on a team where the coach always has a plan and he's got something to teach them that day, they get out of the car fired up. You've seen mm-hmm. it. I've seen it. Organization is a huge piece. Having a detailed practice plan of – and again, we're hoping to help coaches get that content and get that information and be more prepared moving forward that we think is, you know, really going to help those teams and those coaches.
You know, you mentioned another podcast too when I was listening. You know, we're all in this together. You know, you just mentioned, you know, USA Baseball's got a great educational program. I'm going to be interviewing Paul Seiler, I've known him for over 30 years, pretty soon on the show, talk about their educational program. We're all in this together. And, you know, these coaches, they have an opportunity, like you said, they can, by attending or by being a member, they can learn about practice organization, getting better. And I get a lot of questions from a lot of volunteer coaches. And I want to throw this at you because we didn't, you know, I didn't tell you about this, but, you know, you're a baseball guy. And mm-hmm. I know baseball guys, they got answers all the time because they're always educating themselves. Sure. The question came about, you know, I've got a 13-year-old son and he's dominating. Mm-hmm. What should I do with him? Should he play at 13? Or should he play up, or vice versa? Maybe he's really struggling at 13. Should he play down? I mean, that's a tough decision for a parent. Any advice you have there?
You know, that's a good question, and I've had a lot of other, you know, camp parents ask me the same thing. I think play at your level, and this is just me speaking on behalf of me, and as I've got almost an 8-month-old son, Cooper, at home, and when he grows up, I wouldn't be too fired up to have him play up or down. I think playing at the level is what, because again, when you get to, and I hope that he has a passion for baseball just like I do, and I hope that he plays in high school and he's got an opportunity to go play college baseball, he's going to be graded against players of his same level and age. And so I want him to play on that same level. And like I said, the 13-year-old that's dominating, keep dominating, because I promise you, I can name probably five right now off the top of my head that I grew up with that at 16, everybody caught up with them and they were just an average player again. You know, so that definitely happens, but you do have that rare talent that at 13 was great, at 16 was great, at 18 was great, and he was just one of the best players in his age group. I think staying in your age group gives you a lot better perspective. I think playing up, most certainly they're going to get, you know, acclimated to faster speeds and faster pace, and there's probably some benefit in that. But I think they're going to move up. To me, I'd want a kid to move up in his age group. I think for the kid that's struggling, it's the same idea. It's stay in your age group. Know that the game has a funny way of swinging. It also has, again, like we talked about earlier, everybody clicks in their development at different times. You know, I use the example in some of the recruiting seminars I do that I could recruit, you know, 10 freshmen, and two of them may figure it out in the fall of their freshman year. Three of them may figure it out as sophomores. Three of them figure it out fall of their junior year. And three of them may not figure it out at all in 4 years. And that's the, you know, take that down a level. That is exactly what youth is. A kid just makes a jump at 12. Maybe he makes another jump at 13. Maybe he doesn't make another jump until 16. And every kid's going to be different, just like snowflakes. And we just got to be aware of that and cognizant of it. Keep preaching the things that are always going to be tried and true. Positive attitude, handling failure, you know, combating that fear of failure and that fear of adversity with real confidence, and keep, you know, preaching the fundamentals, and I think you're on the right path.
That's great advice. Now, we're going to jump a little bit here because, you know, one of the things I've always wondered about education is, and this is all over the world that happens, whether it happens with national teams, you see a lot of focus being put at the higher levels, and I'll use an example, college baseball, high school baseball, and not a lot of national organizations focus at the grassroots level. Now, I understand reasons why, but it's kind of like a trickle-down effect that goes down, where I think it needs to go the opposite way. We need really good education at the younger levels.
Right.
So my question here is, the National High School Association has mandated, as you know, high school baseball associations to come up with pitch counts for high school pitchers. You know, that's an area that now they're saying that every high school association has to come up with a system. And I understand why and all that. But more importantly, shouldn't we be mandating this at the grassroots level first? Because by the time they get to high school, they can have some serious injuries. And that's kind of what I wanted to, you know, kind of pick your brain on your thoughts about all that.
Yeah, and that's a great question. I've heard a lot of folks weigh in on it. And I think, and you would be too, I'm for anything that promotes safety and health of our players, because I think we get to our entire conversation, we get so wrapped up in the winning and the performance end of it that we forget about that they're underdeveloped, they're not as strong in certain areas, and we're expecting them to do things that Major League Baseball players are doing. And so I think the pitch count's a great start. I think, you know, and those rules aren't for the majority, they're for the minority of guys that abuse them or really don't keep the safety and health at the forefront of the mission of coaching their team. So I enjoy that part of it. I like that. I think that'll help. It will most certainly cut down on the mileage, you know, per se, that's going to be on an arm that I know a lot of college coaches are excited about, because, you know, as you said, they're coming up through our game and they might have some injuries that they've just acquired over time. I've had a few of my recruits that just couldn't pitch in college because of just the wear and tear of being the top arm for their high school team. They had to throw a lot. You know, I think this too, and I always like to talk about these guys. I don't know if you've spent any time with them, but Troy Silva and Jose Rio Berger, who are out in Washington.
Absolutely.
And, you know, those two, I've connected with them, and I'm so excited about it because I consider them friends. But the beauty of it is that, you know, Jose and I were talking about youth baseball, and you know, in their organization, they don't, you know, let kids throw curveballs until they're 13. And it's like, I get you. And he goes, well, I mean, but understand that the data says if we do that, we're damaging their elbow. Like, no questions about it. We're damaging the elbow, whether it's a spike curve or whatever you want to call it. It's still going to damage your elbow when we should be focusing on fastball command. They should be able to move a fastball wherever they want. And if they're doing that, it's going to be a lot easier for them to develop arm strength moving forward because they're used to throwing it hard repeatedly and their body, mm-hmm. you know, the kinetic chain, they start to figure it out. They also sure. develop a changeup a lot sooner than guys who just rely on a power fastball and a breaking ball. They develop the changeup feel. So now they're moving mm-hmm. into 13, 14, 15, and they've got fastball command all over the chart. They can put it wherever they need to. They've got a changeup to go with it, and now they start mixing in a breaking ball. And he goes, we still win tournaments somehow. You know, everybody else is throwing curveballs, but we're still winning tournaments. I like that. I think the tough part is, Pete, and this is where we're struggling with in the office and me personally, is for youth baseball, there's no governing body. There's no, for a youth tournament, and you were talking about 6U and 7U, there's 5U travel tournaments, but there's nobody that's actually watching and really charting and keeping really close tabs on the pitch counts. And we've got a Juan in our office coaches his son's youth baseball team, and he talks mm-hmm. about how he turns in the stuff in these tournaments, and they're not keeping track of it accurately. They're not really hammering these coaches on, this kid can't throw today. There's no prescribed days off method in place for youth baseball because there's no governing youth baseball body that these organizations and these tournaments have to apply to. So that's the tough part, is to walk in and tell somebody, hey, you got to follow this. And they look at you like, well, man, I'm collecting a check, so I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. But it goes back to the educational part. Well, if you know that doing this keeps these kids healthy, would you do it now? Or if you know that this is going to help these kids move forward, would you do it now? And that's the part I think we need to get to and get in front of them and convince them that there's a greater mission here than just putting on a tournament on a random weekend in June. It's about keeping them healthy so they can play as long as they can and hopefully be baseball fans for life.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more. I think that education is going to come down. You know, the more we educate people out there, I think the system will start to change by itself. It's going to take, you know, large organizations, whether it's the ABCA, Major League Baseball, USA Baseball, a lot of that, you know, bodies that are pretty strong in education to hopefully inform everybody. And we're going to have a special show where we're going to invite people who run tournaments around the country, and we're going to discuss this part, I think, because we need to open that's a great dialogue. I think that's important. And the other thing is I was going to mention was, you know, I wanted you to be one last question, and then because I know we could talk all day, boy, this could be a 5-hour show. I want you to talk about before at the end, you're going to get a chance to kind of tell the coaches and parents and players anything you like, any advice you want to give them final to end the show. But before we do that, talk about, you know, you've got a lot of high school, college coaches, professionals. I feel that they have a major responsibility also as educators to help the grassroots level. Give them some advice on maybe some things they can do to help volunteer coaches within their own communities, what you think they can help with, because there's so many of them that are so good all over the country.
Absolutely. I think first and foremost, be aware of your sphere of influence. And, you know, we used to always tell that to our players, whether they're high school or recruits, is, you know, be aware that youth kid that's somebody's little brother is watching everything you're doing. And they're paying attention to how you do it, and they're going to model you, and whether you want that or not. And I think college coaches, professional coaches need to recognize that too. I think a high school coach goes to a college game and sees a college coach blow up on an umpire. He thinks that's cool, and that's what I'm supposed to do. And I think mm-hmm. just being aware of your influence is the first key. I think really networking and wanting an inner desire to mentor and to really have somebody under your wing, or have somebody that feels like they can call you at any time and talk through some different things, or attend your practice. Like, I used to love when high school coaches would call, and you know, especially when I was at UK or even Spalding, and say, hey, can we come watch you practice? And you're like, absolutely, because I want to, you know, number one, I want to show you my program, but I know that you're going to pick something up, and at the end of practice, we're going to sit there and talk for 2 hours, and we're going to go into – you know, like you've probably done, Pete, you just go into all the different realms of, man, here's the stuff I've tried and this didn't work, or if I were in your shoes, I would do this. And so I think be willing to step out and have people, like you mentioned, throwing out the email and the cell phone. I want that. And that's what I feel more professional, or, you know, coaches or people that are in, you know, our shoes, man, make yourself available, because you'd be shocked, as you probably are, how many people reach out to you and how many people want to connect with you and get information from you. So I think that's a great step. You know, we're hoping that this Barnstormers tour begins that, because that's most certainly, when I've hit these coaches in these specific cities, it's, hey, recognize that you're helping the ABCA and you're growing the game, but now these coaches will feel a connection with you. And I know that's getting, you know, real zen-like, but at the same time, it's like they are connecting with you. So they feel like they could probably come to your practice, or they feel like they could shoot you a call or an email, come to your camp, come to a game and say hi to you outside the dugout. Those things I think are huge. And we're hoping to do that again across all those major markets across the country that I think really helps. So I most certainly think we just need to become available, put ourselves out there, look to bring more coaches under our wing, and really know that it is our job to be stewards of the game, and it's our job to help bring somebody. I've said this before, and I love talking about my college coach, Alan Cox, but Alan hit me with this: wherever you go in life, always bring somebody with you. And I think anytime you move up or you take a new job, I've most certainly looked back and tried to do that, is if I can bring somebody into this fold, now that I've made a career, I'm going to bring them with me. And I think if every coach does that, I get the job from the small college to the big D1, make sure I bring somebody with me. I bring in the guys that worked my camp and get them over to work our camp, which is they're going to be fired up about, or the guy that I've really – you know, it's been a young coach that I've been talking to. Don't cut them off now that you've made a career jump. Keep reaching out to that guy and connecting with him and try to bring him with you. And I think that's a huge thing to just keep in mind.
Well, I'll tell you what, you got me going, because you got my thought process going here, Coach. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm gonna bring this out because it was in my mind. I thought, this could be a great idea possibly for the ABCA in the future, maybe future plans. How about a mentor program? I mean, you have high school, college coaches in every city around the country. How about a place where volunteer coaches can call the high school coach or the volunteer coach, or email them, where they can go right to the website, and email that high school coach questions, or call them, kind of like a mentoring program, mm-hmm. but in every city.
You just threw me a fastball at the belt. I hope you know that. so here's a cool thing, and you may not be aware of this, but I'll get back to your question. But 2 years ago, Paul Blanchard, the head coach at Southwest Minnesota State, started the Rookie Coaches Mentoring Program. And
wow,
Paul is a salt of the earth person. I love talking about him and talking with him. But he just sat back and, he was given kind of the old man speech to his assistants and the assistants at Southwest Minnesota State. And he just said, I think there's more to this. And what if I'm at ABCA convention? I've got all these young coaches, these new 22, 23, 24-year-old guys. And what if I could get them in a room and give them, hey, here's all the things I tried that didn't work. And here's how coaching really works. And here's the things you need to be cognizant of. And he did it. And he said he did it year one. He had about 50 coaches show up. Last year, I got the job. We had played against each other. He called me, Sheets, I want you to help me run this. We had about 250 coaches show up. And this year, we're turning that into two nights. So we'll meet on Thursday night, right after the divisional meetings. We'll have the rookie coaches meeting. And then we'll meet back again on Saturday night to see how everything went. And we're looking to, give them, Paul's going to give them the old man speech. I'm going to give them the speech about what convention and what, in my opinion, what coaching's about. It's about networking. It's about making sure that, people, when they talk about you, they talk well, and how to connect and how to build up your network of people you can call upon, and being cognizant of shaking hands and eye contact and those type of things. And then coming back on Saturday, and we're thinking about doing a panel discussion, having coaches come in that, have come up from high school. John Savage and Paul Maneri, you wouldn't know this, but they both started out coaching high school baseball.
Oh, yeah, I know Paul. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the thing that I think 22, 25-year-old guys don't recognize, that these guys started where you were and mm-hmm. they worked their way up, and here's the career path, or here's the tricks of the trade. But to your point, we've actually kicked that idea around. I'm actually, like I said, I'm so glad you asked, because
that's great.
We've talked about, coaches like Paul, or coaches that have been just so overwhelming. Hey, we want to get involved with this rookie coaches thing. Like, not only will my young assistants be there, but if you want me to talk, I'll talk. And it's like, we've thought about doing a list of coaches that have a desire to mentor and putting that on our website or having access to it. And if a coach, like you said, a youth coach emails me and goes, Sheets, man, I just want to find somebody I can connect with, I can lean on, I can get some info from. Hey, man, let me go down my list. Boom. Paul Blanchard, man, he's your guy. I'll connect you two. You guys can run from there, whether it's a weekly phone call or monthly phone call or whatever it is. And that's something that we're more than ecstatic about trying to really grow is, again, that grassroots level of let's start connecting these people and really putting them with the right folks that will help give them the info and insight they need that's going to keep them in our game and keep them moving forward. So I'm really glad you brought that up, man. It's something we're definitely on to.
That's great. And coaches, players, and parents all over the world, are you listening? Because this is awesome. The ABCA, I mean, their goals are tremendous. Join. Don't forget to go to abca.org. Check it all out. Be a member. $45. I mean, you go to the convention, it's $70. Not only that, but you get every speaker. If you attend the convention, every speaker, you get online their video where you can go back and listen to everything they said. You're talking about over 30 speakers. Alone, it's $30 to buy a DVD anywhere. So think about the cost of all that and what you're getting for $45 and then $70 with the membership. That rookie coaches program, Coach Sheets, unbelievable. I can't wait to see that at this upcoming convention. And lastly, I wish we had more time, but lastly, this is your time. You know, you've got volunteer coaches, you've got high school, college, you've got everybody out there from all over the world, different levels. Anything you want to say to our coaches to just make them better coaches would be greatly appreciated. It's your show right now.
I appreciate that. I think first and foremost, thank you. You know, I think anyone that's scratched the itch of, a coach used to always say, he's got the sickness for baseball. And, yeah, anybody that's got that, you know, I tip my hat to, and I know you're a guy like that, just like I am. I'm consumed with it. Thank you for what you're doing for the game. And I think that's, so important to recognize is that we all have a hand in this, you know, I honestly don't think that, and I'm so glad it really punched me in the nose when I got the job here, is we all have a role in this. And whether you're coaching youth or high school or college or professional, you have a hand in growing the game of baseball, period. And I think that is such a, like you said, it can be a trickle up, but it really is a trickle down effect that you don't know where that goes. The player you coach, if you convince him that baseball is the greatest game on earth, that kid is going to turn into a man that loves baseball. And guess what? He's probably going to pass that on to somebody else. And it keeps our game just this ever-flowing positive spirit around it that I know we pay homage to the gods. And that's, I love that part of it, is just we continue to grow our game. You know, I know that football is gaining a lot of popularity and soccer and basketball, that's great. But I still think we're the national pastime, and there's a core group of tried and true baseball enthusiasts, and we just got to be cognizant of that. I think if I'm a parent, and if there are some parents listening to this, the best advice I could give you is just be a parent. And I used to say that and look down at you because I didn't have any kids. And now that I got one, it really hits home. Because I think you got to be aware that, you know, your son's playing. You've already got he's taking care of that for you. Your results aren't tied to him. It's his development. It's his game. They're his results. I think, you know, if you really want to coach, sign up and apply for the job. If you don't coach. Don't worry about what the coach is calling. Don't worry about what he's trying to do. You know, if he really is hurting your kid, then yeah, you step in. But if he's being hard on him, you know, life's hard. So he probably needs that. Or if he, you know, is doing things the right way, support that coach and thank him and pat him on the back and shake his hand. Don't try to umpire unless you're certified. You know, if you're sitting in a lawn chair down the right field line, you probably can't see it as good as the guy behind the plate. You know, are all of them great? Nope. But if you really want to umpire, get certified and jump behind the plate. If not, just sit back and be a spectator. Sit back and enjoy your kids playing the game. And again, I'll reference Kevin Wilson again. We both talked about this, is just enjoy loving watching your kid play the game. And I think that is the message that I think a lot of parents need to keep in mind, is not to be the loudest, not to be the most involved, just simply enjoy that time, because it's over really quick. It's a snapshot of their development and their life, and they're going to move on and start doing other things. And so just enjoy it and do our part. I think everyone should do their part to grow our game, move it forward, impact it positively. And, you know, obviously here at the ABCA and myself, we are more than excited and willing to help each and every one of you guys. And obviously, Pete, we appreciate what you're doing for the game, because you're doing an extensive amount of growing the game and preaching the right things. And so thank you as well. And we hope to continue to move forward with our relationship.
That is Coach Jeremy Schittinger. And I know Coach Sheets, known as Coach Sheets, doesn't believe I could actually mention or pronounce his last name, but I did it. From the American Baseball Coaches Association. It was a thrill having you on. It was an honor. I want to thank you again for being on the show.
My pleasure. Pleasure's all on this side of the microphone, my friend. Thank you so much for having me.
Super, Coach Sheets. And to all our listeners, we really appreciate you listening to the show. Without you, we don't have a show. We don't exist. So, but don't forget, join the ABCA, attend their convention, go to abca.org. You will receive all the information on their website. It is a great website. You can't miss it. So go to it. Again, abca.org. We hope you like the show. And if you want to help us make it more popular, spread the word out on social media. You got all this social media. We're on social media all the time. We're learning, but we're also spreading the word. Of course, our social media, Twitter, @BaseballOut. If you follow us, there's a lot of tips on there. Don't forget to check out our website, where we're going to be including, in a week now, we're going to be adding every day instructional drills, just little tidbits, videos from all over the world, from coaches that send us videos or from videos that we found all over the world. We're going to be placing that on our website, baseballoutsidethebox.com. We've also got our Facebook page. Don't forget to go to Facebook. With Facebook, you can get, you know, you can add a lot of videos, more writings. Again, Baseball Outside the Box. And don't forget to email us, info@baseballoutsidethebox.com. If you have any questions, like to hear a specific guest, or even any advice you'd like to have, we'll get you the answer that you're trying to find about a particular area in the development of the game. So don't forget, coaches. Coaches' education is the key to building the foundation of our sport. So keep getting smarter by listening to the show that interviews baseball's best coaching minds with innovative thoughts that like to challenge the status quo. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Have a great coaching day, and I will see you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.